Last week we heard a sermon by Mr. Willoughby in which he talked about Ephesians chapter 4. Some of the points he discussed were being humble, being gentle, and being patient. Today I want to also talk about something found in Ephesians, but I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to go ahead and start turning there. And I was actually starting to sweat a little bit last week when Mr. Willoughby started out, because I was afraid that he was going to get into what I wanted to talk about, but he didn't. And actually, I think what he talked about leads into what I want to talk about today. Today, I want to talk about the act of submitting or submission. And we'll be looking in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll just read one of the key verses that we're going to be dealing with and around before I go any further. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And people might use that verse for all sorts of reasons and go any number of directions with it. But some people hear this, they might say, "You know, hey now, let's wait just a minute. I'm not going to submit to that person. Or maybe there ain't no way I'm submitting to them." When we read this verse about wives, submit to your own husbands, you know, some women might feel, or they might say, or they might at least think it, that there's no way I'm going to submit to that man. Or I'm not submitting to any man. There's no man that's going to rule over me. And these statements may be pretty extreme, but there might actually be some people that have this attitude or might think some of the things that I've just said. But when you hear the word submit or submission, it may not always be in a positive way. You may not think too positively when you hear that word. People may not like the idea of submitting to someone or to be in submission to someone or to something. You look in terms of wrestling or mixed martial arts, a participant may try to get an opponent into submission or to submit to them. They may try any number of moves or techniques in order to bring their opponent into submission. The goal here is to immobilize the opponent or to bring them into submission. And in those terms, when you think of it that way, submitting or submission to an opponent might be viewed as a sign of weakness. But that's not what's being talked about in Ephesians chapter 5, or anywhere else in the Bible for that matter. But I want to look at some verses in the Bible today that will help us hopefully better understand what's being talked about here in Ephesians chapter 5. And we might ask some questions at this point. With three questions. First of all, what is submission? Or what does it mean to submit? But what is submission is the first one. Second, how can we be submissive? And third, why is it important to be submissive? And as we ask ourselves these questions, let's ask them from the perspective of submitting to or being submissive to God. From this perspective, we're going to see by the end of the message today that submitting or being submissive is a positive thing. And we'll answer these questions in the time remaining today. My purpose today is to help us better understand this idea of submission. With this understanding, hopefully, we will all fully embrace and welcome this idea of submission that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 5. We will also realize and understand that to be submissive is not a sign of weakness. And we're also going to realize as we go along that it's just not talking only to the wives. there's lessons for all of us here in Ephesians chapter 5, and I think we'll see that by the end of the message today. Let's look briefly at a definition of the words submit and submission before we go any further. One definition of submit would be to yield to governance or authority, or yield oneself to the authority or will of another, or to surrender. And if you want to take it a little further, the definition of submission, the condition of being submissive, humble, or compliant. It's an act of submitting to the authority or the control of another. Some synonyms for the word submission might be compliance, conformity, obedience, or subordination. And some antonyms to the word, if you're going to not be in submission, might be defiance, disobedience, rebellion, or self-will. And we'll see that a little bit later on. That will come back to light. But the word submitting and submit, as it is used in chapter 5 of Ephesians, is taken from the Greek word hupotasso. And I don't claim to pronounce that correctly, but H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. And it's found several times in the New Testament. It means to subordinate, to obey, to be under obedience or to be obedient, put under, or be or made subject to, put in subjections to, or submit yourself unto something. We might also say that submission is passively surrendering to an authority. And if you look at it that way, you might could take it a step further and say that submission is voluntary. And also, it's important to look at another Greek word, hupakeo, H-U-P-A-K-O-E. This is the Greek word for obey. And it means to listen attentively, to heed or conform to a command or authority, actively following a command. And there's maybe no choice in the matter for this word. It's to be done whether one agrees with it or not. And if you go at it from that direction, you might say then that obedience is involuntary. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's important to understand the differences in these two Greek words for submit and obey. It's my hope that at the end of today's message, we will view this idea of submission or being submissive from a standpoint of being a voluntary surrendering to authority, or more specifically for us and how we find it here in Ephesians 5, voluntary surrendering to God's authority, or voluntarily surrendering to God's will. And at this point, we might attempt to go ahead and answer the first question I ask, and that is, what is submission? And from the standpoint of what we're going to talk about today, and from the definitions and things we've just talked about, definition that we might put down for the answer to this question, what is submission? Submission is the voluntary surrendering to the authority of God, or the voluntary surrendering to the will of God. And we're going to talk more about this idea later in the message, but for our purposes, submission is the voluntary surrendering to the authority of God or to the will of God. And let's go now to Ephesians chapter 5, if you're already there, and we're going to look at some of these verses. I want to start early in the chapter and look at some of the verses leading up to the instructions that were given or we read about submitting. The first seven verses in the chapter. The heading in at the beginning is Walk in Love in my Bible. You know, we see in these verses some types of behavior that are not pleasing to God. These behaviors are not showing love to others. And we're told in these verses to avoid such behavior, and that those that practice the behaviors listed here will not be in God's family. And then in verses 8 through 14, the heading in my Bible is Walk in Light. When we are in the world, when we're in Satan's world, we're in darkness. And once God calls us out of this darkness and He reveals His truth to us, we are to walk according to His way. We are to walk in the light. And in verses 15 through 21, the heading is Walk in Wisdom. You know, we're to be paying attention, not acting foolishly. The world is desperately in need of God's intervention to save it from the evil that exists all around us today. And we are not alone in our walk to follow God's way of life. In verse 21, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This doesn't mean that we are to fall down before another human being that may have a higher ranking or position than us. That's not what we're told to do here in submitting to one another. If you hold your place here in Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn over in my Bible just one page to Philippians chapter 2. Get a little bit more insight on this verse and this point. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Having the love of Christ in us and striving for unity among our fellow brethren, in lowliness of mind or in humility, we esteem others better than ourselves. And we see from these verses then that humility is foundational if we are to have a submissive attitude, if we are to submit. We have to have humility as part of our foundation. This, in part, might answer the second question that I asked earlier. How can we be submissive? In order for you and I to have a submissive attitude, whether it be to our spouses, or whether it be to our spiritual family, or whether it be to God the Father, we must have an attitude of humility. We must put others above ourselves. We must also recognize what the spiritual big picture is, and we need to understand what our place is in that spiritual big picture. Let's go on in Ephesians chapter 5 and read some more verses that will help us reinforce what this spiritual big picture is. We get down to verse 22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. But no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And speaking from the physical marriage relationship, both the husband and the wife have a part to play. You know, if a husband is expecting that his wife submit to him and as her role in the family, he has to be a loving individual and make himself someone that she can submit to. And as we see there, he loves her, cherishes her, and nourishes her as well. So both individuals have a part to play. It's not a one-way street as the husband being the lord of the house and ruling over the wife. That's not it at all. And I think we see and understand that. But we take it a step further here, and that relationship, the physical marriage, gives us a better picture of the relationship that God and Jesus Christ want with all of us as part of their church. I want to read a few comments on these verses from a commentary through the Bible commentary that was written by a Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And it's a few sentences long, but it addresses some of the verses that we just read. It says, a very personal, loving relationship is the ground for submission. It is a love relationship, and the husband is to be the head for the sake of order. And you will find in this section of Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6, there are four different areas in which there is headship for the sake of order. Wives are to be subject to their husbands. Husbands are to be subject to Christ. Children are to be subject to parents. And servants are to be subject to masters. And it is to be a sweet subjection, a willing subjection to someone who loves you. It is to be that kind of relationship. If there is no love in it, the idea of submission is worthless. The husband is to love his wife because the marriage relationship makes the wife a part of his own body. It is like the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of that body. On this basis, the husband is the head of the wife. It is unnatural for a man to hate his own flesh. So the husband is to love his wife because she is his own flesh. Christ, knowing the weakness of the church, nourishes and cherishes her. And husbands are to do the same to their wives. These verses should show us that the spiritual big picture includes relationships. It includes eternal relationships. God the Father has a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to have a similar relationship with you and I. He tries to illustrate that to us through the physical marriage relationship. And if we understand this, and if we grasp that, then this idea of submission that we read about here shouldn't be too difficult for us. And I've had this conversation with some folks in the past, and you read this verse there, and some of the comments I made earlier in the sermon were not too far off from what I heard. You know, I'm not submitting to no man. So I think if we look at it this way and we truly understand what's being described here, we look at this idea of submission in a totally different light. And the more we realize this, and the more that we understand the relationship that God desires to have with us and all of mankind, I think the more that we should desire to be submissive, the more we will want to submit. And that's backing up what we read a little bit ago about the love involved in the relationship. You know, just like in the physical marriage relationship, if the husband loves the wife, takes care of the wife, and is doing what he's supposed to, then the wife does her part, and it's not like it's a chore for her to submit to him and be under his authority. And I don't think at that point the husband also feels that he is lording over her. And that kind of loving relationship, I think they're more definitely on the same page. Let's turn to James chapter 4 to reinforce this idea of submission in terms of submitting to God. And we will start to address the importance of submitting. Why is it important to be submissive? In James chapter 4, in verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it all on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy'?" So what we're seeing described here in some of these verses is some problem behaviors, problem areas, some sinful behaviors possibly, and sinful attitudes. Or you see an individual described in those verses that is trying to do something on their own. They're trying themselves to obtain this or get that, or they're arguing, bickering among themselves, but totally not the right attitude, not the right direction to be going in those verses. Then in verse 6, "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.'" And we see mentioned again this idea of being humble or humility. And in verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You might read it this way, "Therefore," or "because of these things that we've just talked about in the first 5 or 6 verses, because of these things, because of these sinful behaviors, attitudes, or misdirection that's described there, because of Satan's influence and desire to pull us away from God, because of all these things, submit to God. Or as the definition we had earlier, voluntarily surrender to the will of God. And because all of these other things described here are going to take us away from that. Makes us an enemy of God. God wants to see humility in His children. So why is it important to be submissive? Or why is it important to be submissive to God? Because that's what God wants. Being submissive to God is critical if we are to become a member of His family. His plan to offer salvation to us and to all mankind involves us, involves you and I voluntarily surrendering to His authority, voluntarily surrendering to His will, not what we want, but what He wants for us. God desires to have a relationship with us, and He wants us to willingly submit to His will, to willingly follow and obey Him. You know, much like those of us as parents do with our children. I mean, we try to lay out the laws, the guidelines, the rules for our children, said, this is what we expect of you. If they willingly do that, we're well pleased and everybody lives happily ever after. But oftentimes it doesn't work that way. You know, the children don't see the benefit in that, and they go their own way, or they don't voluntarily surrender to the parents' will, and it's not always pleasant. It can be a hard road to go down. But God desires for us to willingly follow and obey Him, to surrender to His will. And now as we get close to wrapping this up, I want to look at a couple of examples of submission in the Bible. Nothing new in these examples, but let's go back to Genesis chapter 22 to look at this first one. This involves Abraham. And this involves his son Isaac, who was dearly loved. And Abraham had been tested before also. God had asked him earlier in Genesis to pack up all his stuff and move to another land. And Abraham didn't say, "Now, hold on now, let's make a deal here. I don't need to do that, or can't we do something else?" You know, you'll see that Abraham willingly did what God asked. And then here again, Abraham is put to the test. In chapter 22, in verses 1 through 3, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. You know, commanded him to sacrifice his son. And I can, you know, it's hard to even imagine being in Abraham's position here. You know, this son that you've longed for, and then God asks you to sacrifice him. And Abraham followed God's instruction. In verse 9, you know, after he and Isaac had traveled out to the place where he was going to sacrifice, in verse 9, they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So also, Abraham was submitting to God's will of asking him to sacrifice his son, but what about Isaac also? Can you imagine this scene here where Abraham is binding his son and about to put him on the altar? So what's going through Isaac's mind? You know, is he looking for a way to run and get out of town before it happens? You know, apparently he submitted also to the will because Abraham bound him. And in verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You know, God stopped Abraham from killing his son. You know, God did find out that Abraham was submissive. Abraham was voluntarily surrendering to the will of God to the point that he was about to kill his son. You know, Abraham voluntarily surrendered to the authority and to the will of God. The second example of submission is found in the New Testament. This is another one that we're all familiar with. It's the example of Jesus Christ and the agonizing death that he endured to pay the penalty for our sins. If you turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, you know, just before his arrest, he's praying here in the garden. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 42, it says, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, Christ knew what he was going to have to go through. And he prayed to his father that if there's any other way, if there's anything else that can be done, let's go that route. But if not, if that's the way it's got to be, then your will be done, not my will. You know, and Jesus Christ voluntarily surrendered to the will of God. And in doing so, he knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew that he was going to experience a terribly agonizing death. And he was going to do that for all of mankind. He's doing that. He did that for us. You know, when Jesus Christ set us an example in many things, you know, we need to heed the example that he set for us. And we need to put into practice what he set before us. You know, we must voluntarily surrender to the will of God as well. You know, we've looked at several verses today pertaining to submission or this idea of submitting. And I hope that we understand a little bit more about being submissive and hope that we can view it a little bit differently now. And as we've looked at it today, we've seen that being submissive is voluntarily surrendering to the will of God. And in order for us to do this, in order for us to voluntarily surrender to the will of God, we have to have an attitude of humility if we are to do that. And it's important that you and I do voluntarily submit to the will of God. It's not at all a sign of weakness, because our very lives, our eternal lives, depend on you and I being willing to submit to the will of God.